Hi, and welcome to Torah Tumecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be learning Parshas Mishpatim. Mishpatim is one of the six parshas in the Torah that contain the most mitzvahs. There are a total of 53 mitzvahs in the parsha, and most of these mitzvahs are civil laws that are interpersonal laws between man and man, bin Adam l'chaver. So let's mention some of the examples of the mitzvahs in this week's parsha. So first of all, we have the halachas of the Eved Ivri, the Jewish servant. He's someone who stole money and he can't afford to repay it. So he's sold as a servant to repay his debt. And he's sold for 6 years and then he's released in the seventh year. And there are specific halachas if he likes it at his master and he wants to stay longer. Then there are halachas of causing damage to someone else's property or if you hurt them physically and whether this is directly or indirectly, for example, through an animal that you own. There are lots of mitzvahs in the parasha concerning care for the more vulnerable members of our communities. Poor people, orphans, widows, converts. And there are the four shomrim, which means the four keepers. And that's about the responsibility of looking after other people's property or possessions and the halachas for if the item that you're looking after gets lost or it gets damaged. So there are different halachas if you were paid to look after the item, like a house sitter or a dog sitter, or if you were not paid, like you were doing them a favor by holding their jewelry by the pool while they swam and it got stolen, for example. Or if you rented the item and something happened to it, or if you borrowed the item, they did you a favor and something went wrong. So different halachas in all of these situations. And then in the parasha, we also have a few mitzvahs between man and God, bin Adam l'makom. So we have the Shalosh Regalim, the three festivals that we use to make the pilgrimage to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And we have the prohibition against mixing meat and milk. Today we're going to focus on one mitzvah in depth, and that's the prohibition of ribis, of charging interest. So say, for example, you ask if you can borrow $100 from me, and I lend you the money, but for every week that you don't return it, you pay me 5%, an additional 5%. So that's $5 for every single week that you don't return the money. Or say, for example, I lend you a 1 liter bottle of milk, and you return a 1.5 liter bottle of milk. That's ribis. So what's so terrible about ribis? At the end of the day, you're helping someone. You're just also getting some benefit from it. You could think of it as maybe a win-win. And in case you think it's not such a big deal, it's not such a terrible prohibition, it's such a big deal that we learn from a pasuk in Yecheskel that people who charge ribis won't get tchiyas hamesim after Mashiach comes. They won't be resuscitated with the rest of the dead after Mashiach comes. So that's pretty bad. In fact, there's actually a famous story from the days of Rabbi Akiva Eger. There was a person in the times of Rabbi Akiva Eger who was a known interest charger, a known ribis charger. And then when he passed away, his family went to the Chevra Kadisha, the burial society, to buy a plot of land in which to bury him. And the Chevra Kadisha wanted an absolutely exorbitant amount of money. And the family didn't want to, you know, they didn't understand, why are you charging us so much? And the case made its way to Rabbi Akiva Eger. And Rabbi Akiva Eger said, no, these people, the Chevra Kadisha, they're entirely justified in charging so much money for a burial plot. He said, you see, in a normal case, when a person passes away, so we're leasing the land to them because we hope that soon, very, very soon, Mashiach's going to come and there's going to be Tchias HaMesim and they're not going to need that plot of land anymore. So it's just a short-term lease. But with this guy here, your relative who charged ribis, he's not getting Tchias HaMesim. He's going to be in there forever. So this is a sale. It's not a lease. And that's why we're charging so much money. And that's perhaps why it's one of those mitzvahs that people are petrified of. We're super careful, perhaps even bordering on neurosis at times. So we worry about if I borrow a cup of sugar from a neighbor, do I return a cup of sugar that's the exact same size of cup? And this is not a halachic discussion, but I want to explore why ribis is such a problem. And we're going to discuss why it's such a problem on three levels. Number one, between man and Hashem, bin Adam l'makom. Number two, between man and man, bin Adam l'chaveroi. And number three, between man and himself, bin Adam la'atzmai. So firstly, the Kliyakar is the one who introduces the idea that ribis is a prohibition bin Adam la'makom, between man and God, which is strange because it seems like it's a completely interpersonal matter, right? It's between a buyer and a lender. It's between two people. But what the Kliyakar says is that the problem with ribis is that it's a total lack of bitachon in Hashem. As a general norm, a business person always feels very, very dependent on Hashem, that his investments should be successful, that his product should sell. Anytime a business person does a deal, they daven, it should go well, it should be profitable, it shouldn't crash and burn. But when someone lends someone with money with interest, they stop feeling so dependent. They sit back, they've given them the money, And every week they get their extra $5, they get their $5, they sit back and the money just rolls in. And they stop feeling that need to daven and to trust in Hashem, who's the ultimate provider. The friend who borrowed the money is now the steady provider. And they stop feeling that they need Hashem, chas v'shalom. So Ribbis, says the Kli Yakar, has a deeply, deeply negative impact on our relationship in Adam Lamakom, between man and God. We no longer feel like we need to trust Him as our source of income. The income just comes. That's the first approach. The second approach, perhaps the more intuitive one, is the negative impact that it has on relationships between man and man, bin Adam l'chaveru. But before discussing it, let's just explore the name for Ribbis, because it has two names. It's called Ribbis and it's called Neshach. And in the parasha, it's called by its other name. It's called Neshach. So the pasuk says, "Im kesef talveh es ami es ha'ani imach." If you lend money to the poor people in my nation amongst you, don't act to him like a creditor. You mustn't charge him interest. Neshach is interest. So Rashi, quoting the Midrash, explains why it's called Neshach. Neshach means the bite of a snake. And he says it's very much like the bite of a snake. At first, you probably don't even notice it, he says. It's a little wound on your foot. And eventually, it swells up, it reaches all the way to your head, the poison goes all the way through your body, and it destroys you. And he says that Ribbis has the same kind of idea. At first, you don't notice it. Like, what's $5 a week? Every week, $5 a week. What's the big deal? But it creeps up over time, and eventually you get this enormous bill. So you borrowed $100, and now you're suddenly repaying $350. You think it's really not a big deal until it hits you that it could destroy you almost. And just as an aside, I never really fully understood this, Rashi. I never got if it was true from a scientific perspective or not. How could you not notice a snake bite? And then once, exactly the day that I was teaching this Rashi, an article came up on my newsfeed about a professional athlete in Australia who was running a race. I don't recall, it was a long time ago, if it was a marathon or if it was a different kind of important race. But at the start of the race, he got bitten by a snake and he didn't even notice. And he went on, he proceeded to run the entire marathon or race or whatever it was. And at the end of the race, he collapsed and he unfortunately died from that bite of the snake. Running the race had made the poison spread faster through his body until he died. But the point is that he didn't notice the snake bite until he collapsed at the end. And this is exactly what Rashi tells us neshach is. It's you don't realize in the beginning how badly it's going to affect you until it can cause you to collapse, until it hits you so hard that it can kill you. But still, why is it so terrible that someone who charges Ribbis doesn't even get Tchiyas HaMesim, okay? So that's still, you know, we understand it's very terrible for the person who's paying the interest, but it still doesn't explain why it's so terrible that you don't even get Tchiyas HaMesim. So explains Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Musa. He says, someone who charges interest, he had a real opportunity for chesed. He had an opportunity to help someone who's financially down and out and to save him. Give him a loan, get him back on his feet, get him going again, give him life again. And what he does is instead of supporting him, he's also supporting him, but he's using his misery for his own personal gain. It's the conceptual problem here. It's the conceptual problem of gaining from somebody else's suffering, of gaining from somebody else's weakness. That's the problem. In the davening on Yom Kippur, we say, Al-Chit Shechotana Lefanecha B'Neshech of Marbis. We ask Hashem to forgive us for the sin of Ribbis, Neshech and Marbis. Rav Dessler explains that what we're asking for forgiveness for the concept of taking advantage of people's misfortune, because that's what really is at the core of Ribbis, is taking advantage of someone else's suffering. And again, to just emphasize the point, this Ribbis charger, he lent the guy money, he helped him out. He did him a favor, but at the same time, he used this opportunity to benefit himself. And you could think that this is a win-win. He saved him from financial devastation, and this should overshadow the fact that he charges him a little bit of interest back. But that gaining from the misfortune, it floors the chesed so deeply that he doesn't merit to have tchiyas hamesim. And this is something to think about in all areas of chesed. When a person could be benefiting from someone else's neediness, taking advantage of someone else's weakness, that sometimes it can make us feel better than them, that we can swoop in and we can rescue them, it can make us feel special, it can make us feel needed. And it's an important idea to think about, are we taking advantage of someone else's weakness? because it can manifest in a lot of ways, not just money-related ways, but in ways like we feel good about feeling needed, we feel good when we're supporting someone who's struggling with someone. And when we do chesed, it really has to be for the sake of the chesed, for the sake of the person who needs it. It's not to boost our own personal ego. I once heard an amazing shiur by Rabbi Fachler, Zichrono Livracha, from London, and he quoted the Mishnah in Avos that tells us, "Kala oiskim imat tzibur yu oiskim imaim l'shem shamayim." Whoever is involved in community work should be involved in community work purely for the sake of heaven, purely l'shem shamayim. Now, Rabbi Fachler, he was a rav and he was a therapist, and he said it's actually extremely hard to get to that level of l'shem shamayim, of doing it purely for the sake of heaven, because there's always a part of us that does feel good from doing the chesed. And if you tell us that we should only do things purely l'shem shamayim, we'll never trust ourselves to do chesed. We'll never do chesed because we won't believe that we've got to that level where we're not getting any personal pleasure from it and it's purely l'shem shamayim. So in his capacity as a rav and a therapist, he gave some brilliant advice. And he said, we still have to do chesed. Even if our motives are not 100% l'shem shamayim and we enjoy the feeling of being needed and we enjoy the feeling of being useful, he says, that's okay, because otherwise we'd never do chesed. But while we're doing the chesed, we need incredible self-awareness. Why? He says, because there will always come a time when we need to let go, where we need to give people the gift of being able to cope themselves when the time is right. And sometimes as mentors and teachers and close friends, we're not very good like that. We like to continue helping. And maybe that's because of the good feeling that we get from doing the chesed. And if we're not aware of that feeling, what happens is that we hold on to the person that we're helping and we actually start to harm them when we're supposed to be helping them. Now, I mean, this has completely different intentions to the person charging interest. But maybe it's a little bit like the idea of ribbis, where we harm the person that we're helping with the very, very best of intentions. We don't mean to hurt them at all. We mean to help. But if we aren't aware of this very complex relationship that we have with chesed, then we're less likely to let go when the person needs us to let go. So it requires a lot of self-awareness and self-knowledge to know, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm gaining from doing the chesed. This is what the other person needs from me right now. So that's our second problem with ribbis. It's taking advantage of someone else's misfortune. And finally, the third problem with ribbis. This time it's between man and himself, bin Adam la'atzmai. And this is an idea that I heard from Moshe Weinberger Shlita. So he says, the prohibition of ribbis, the Torah teaches us, it's not just on the lender, it's also on the borrower. You're not just not allowed to lend money with interest, but you're also not allowed to borrow money and repay it with interest. So he says, what's at the root of borrowing money? Of course, there are times when people genuinely need to borrow money. But there are also situations, many situations, in which we can question whether we really need to borrow money or whether we're just borrowing so we can live up to the neighbors and we can have the same caterer that everybody else is having for their simcha and we can go on the same vacations that everyone else is going on, right? Think credit card debt. What's ribbis? Ribbis is when there's something that you really want, but you can't get it. So you buy it on credit. And because you can't afford it, so interest payments build up over time. And it literally ruins people. It ruins them financially. It ruins them emotionally. Credit card debt ruins people. And if we go all the way back to the core of this mentality, where does it come from? Why do we feel the need to borrow things to borrow money to buy things that we can't afford? And it says it comes from an attitude of, I would be happy if I only had this one thing. This is standing in the way of me and my happiness. I need this thing to be happy. What's another name for ribbis? We said it's neshach. It's the bite of a snake. What was the original bite of the snake? The snake came to Adam in Gan Eden. And he said, I know you have so many trees you can eat from. You have everything. But there's that one tree. If you had that one tree, then you'd really be happy. If you had that one thing you don't have, then you'd really be happy. Same mentality. And neshach, this bite of the snake, it devastates us. It devastated man originally for all eternity. We're still suffering from it today. And this mentality of, I'm not happy until I have just that one last thing, it continues to devastate all of us all of the time, still today. So to summarize, we have three major problems with ribbis or neshach. Number one, it destroys our relationship with Hashem because it corrodes our trust in Him as the primary provider. Number two, it destroys our relationship with people When we benefit from their misfortune, it changes the whole nature of the chesed. And finally, it destroys our relationship with ourselves because it feeds this mentality of needing more and more and more things so that we can finally be happy. Thank you for listening and have a great week.